Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the program live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this each weekday live at 11 a.m. And, of course, if you miss that, the podcast available each day on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud as well. Glad to have you with us. Lots to get to in this hour today. And thank you for being with us, no matter how you're listening to the Hoosier Report on this Tuesday here in the middle of July as we move through the summer. Live basketball tonight. Don't forget about that. I know some people have tweeted me and texted me and said, Matt, thank you for talking about the TBT, the million-dollar tournament tonight. We started back on July 4th when it got underway. Others have said, you know, I love basketball and I love the show. You talk a lot of basketball, but I can't get into the TBT because there's really not a team or a certain player or two to pull for that are really strong IU guys, although there are a couple IU connections in the championship game tonight. But, again, I just love basketball. I love when it's played at a high level. I love when it's played hard. And these guys, obviously, tonight going for $1 million in one game setting. A very unique situation nonetheless. And then, of course, the Elam ending. I know we've talked about that some as well. That's where they add a target score to the winning team's score of 8 points, an additional 8 points, and take the time off with 4 minutes left in the game. I tell you, it's gaining momentum. And if you listen to any of the broadcasts of Fran Fischilla, who's been the color commentator for a lot of the games, although he's not in Columbus, Ohio, he's doing it from a broadcast center in Indianapolis. He's mentioned this a couple times, but the Elam ending, you know, I don't know that I want it in the NBA or college basketball, and I don't want it in high school basketball either. Those are traditional things, and I know some people probably think at some point you need change in everything, but I don't want it, and I think most people probably don't in any traditional setting like that. But Fran has said this on the broadcast. I think it would be great for some AAU grassroots, maybe the EYBL. I think it would be great for that. I think it would be great for an occasional youth league or a high school summer league. I don't think you want to do it in the regular season or the tournament, but I think it would work for some of that stuff. It switches things up. It makes things interesting. It's definitely unique. It's definitely worth looking at, and it fits this TBT format so perfectly. So tonight, 7 o'clock, it's on ESPN. Sideline Cancer is the team that has Maurice Creek and Remy Abel, two players that started their college careers for a few seasons at Indiana before Abel went to Xavier to finish things off there. Of course, he's played overseas as well, as has Creek, who left Indiana after a couple of seasons and finished his college career at George Washington. They will take on a team called Golden Eagles, which is primarily a Marquette alumni team. They've been very good. I think they made it to the championship game last year and were defeated in that championship game. So they're an experienced team. Sideline Cancer is not, but they have just been rolling through the tournament, playing really well. They fit together so well. And, of course, Maurice Creek was the guy that had the winning shot, not only a three-pointer, but it was the three-pointer that put him right at the target score to win the game in a thrilling fashion to advance on to this championship. So even if you've not watched it at all, or you've tried it out and you can't get into the TBT, turn it on tonight at 7 o'clock. You've got live basketball. And one thing I can guarantee you, I'll even go out on a limb. Two things I can guarantee you. One, these dudes are good. Like, that's one thing.
basketball outside of the NBA, I know we understand that there's leagues overseas. Some of them are really, really good. But basketball, there are so many guys that play the game at a high level that aren't in the NBA or aren't in one of those top European professional leagues. That's the first thing. Second thing is these guys are going to play hard. There's no question about it. Wouldn't you, if you had a one-game opportunity for your team to win and split $1 million? Also, what I hope, and I think this will be the case, I think it'll be a thriller because, A, the Elam ending almost guarantees some sort of thrilling shot to win it situation. But with these two teams playing tonight, with the success they've had so far, with the makeup of their rosters, I think it'll be back and forth. I think it'll be very close, and I think it'll come down to the very end with that Elam ending. So tune in tonight, 7 o'clock, and just tell me, tweet me. Tell me if you like it. Tell me if you don't like it. Again, we're getting the championship tonight. And don't worry, because we've got more basketball, the NBA, a week and a half, 2 weeks from tipping off down in Orlando. Knock on wood that everything holds up with the health situation there. So that's the first thing. Let's jump into the show lineup now. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany in the opening segment. Here in just a moment, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines for the day on this Tuesday. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star will join, presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg, we'll talk about Big Ten football going conference only, at least for now, and the effect that he thinks that will have on college football and the Power Five conferences as a whole. We'll also talk about Victor Oladipo. This is also one of my headlines. Victor may play in Orlando, it sounds like, and so we'll talk with Greg about that as well, and a lot more coming up later in that segment. And then finally today, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he's with us on Tuesdays. We talk a lot of IU stuff, including basketball, maybe some basketball recruiting today, and we'll get into a little football as well. And Coach Allen had a press conference earlier this morning. He did mention that there had been a couple positive tests within the football program, obviously not naming any names or specifics, but we assumed that, or we knew that Indiana had some positive tests. With their latest update, that there have been 4 tests out of almost 300, I think, that have been administered so far. So pretty good numbers there, but you just hate to see any of them, to be quite honest. All right, that's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure to visit your Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and check out all the new dinner package deals now being offered. Also, you can now dine in as well as pick up and curbside service. That's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Inside the Hall, Alex Bozich, he's always with us Thursdays, had a nice story today as they begin to look at some of the off-season storylines. Who could be IU's breakout candidate, breakout player for the 2020-2021 college basketball season? They list some players that they think, and they give you lots of reasons why for each player. The first player, Race Thompson. Second player is Jerome Hunter, and the third player they list is Armand Franklin. I really like Race. I really like Armand. I think Race Thompson will have a huge role and a big impact on the team for the upcoming season. But if you've listened to this show, I think that Jerome Hunter, by far and away, is the most intriguing player as a breakout player, as someone that has done some good things in the past but can take that to a whole nother level. I think as he gets more healthy, as he gets back in the groove of things after a serious lower leg injury that basically did sideline him for the year, even the little video clips you see of him playing open gym basketball back at Ohio during the quarantine period a few months ago, he's looking good. And I don't think there's any question when I think about Indiana. You've got Trace Jackson Davis, who we know is going to be the star. You've got some other solid guys back. Again, Race, I think, will be very good. Armand Franklin has lots of potential. Really like Christian Lander, obviously, as a freshman. You got to believe he's going to be competing for a serious role on the team, even as a young freshman. But Jerome Hunter, my vote for breakout player, if you want to pick one here in the middle of July, that I think can have a huge impact on the team for the upcoming season. Also, this is an interesting note. We talk a lot of recruiting, especially nowadays during the coronavirus time. College basketball recruiting continues on while a lot of other things have slowed down. And it's interesting to see in the Big Ten Conference how some of the top assistant coaches are ranked, because a lot of these guys are not only helping with big roles on the coaching as far as X's and O's and the games and the preparation, but these are also a lot of key recruiters as well, representing some of these head coaches and their programs. And for Indiana, Jeff Goodman of Stadium, he knows the game well. He knows these guys intimately. He knows the head coaches, the assistant coaches as well. He's got a ranking of the top five assistant coaches in the Big Ten Conference. And number four on that list, Tom Ostrom from Indiana. We talk a lot about him. His name seems to come up a lot with some of these major prospects that Indiana is recruiting. He's a graduate of Minnesota. He spent 7 years at Florida, an administrative assistant, a video coordinator, and then finally the last two seasons as an assistant coach. He was on John Pelfrey's staff at South Alabama. Then he went with Pelfrey to Arkansas and, of course, joined Archie Miller's staff at Dayton in 2011 and has maintained that spot with him from Dayton to Indiana when he left Dayton in 2017. And Ostrom, again, very involved in the full operation in Indiana, very involved in the recruiting. It seems that he is the guy assigned to a lot of the most important prospects that Indiana has landed so far during Archie Miller's tenure, including right now Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. That's the guy that seems to have lots and lots of conversations on a regular basis with Trey. Who was number one in the top five that Goodman put out from the Big Ten assistants? Dewayne Stevens of Michigan State. He, of course, played there, played in Europe, and has been with Michigan State now for a long time as the associate head coach. Ryan Pedden of Ohio State, he's number two. Dane Fife, former IU player at Michigan State, three. Of course, Tom Ostrom, four. And I'm not as familiar with number five. It's Beno Ranson. I think his name's Orlando Ranson from Maryland. Played college basketball at Southern New Hampshire in the late 1990s. Started off coaching AAU basketball, a little high school ball for a while, and has worked his way to the college game. So those are the top five Big Ten assistant coaches, according to Jeff Goodman of Stadium. Also, you know, everybody wants to know, I get so many questions, what do you think about college basketball, you know, football? Some of the conferences are going to the spring. Big Ten has said conference-only games. Do you think that'll happen with basketball as well? I'll tell you what, it's hard to get a read on it, because everybody that's a decision-maker, or all the big media guys that cover college football and college basketball that have all the sources, really no one is focused on college basketball right now. Yeah, we're focused on Indiana for next season. It's a basketball-crazy area. But really, outside of college football, there's not a lot being said or discussed about college basketball because, A, college football, as much as we may hate to admit it in Indiana, is a lot bigger financially and in some cases popularity-wise than college basketball, and also because it's more profitable for a lot of the schools, so therefore that's their biggest concern right now. And of course, obviously, it's the next upcoming season, so it's going to take the priority. There's no question about that. But when you see other things like the Junior College Athletic Association pushing football to the spring, basketball back to after January. I think it's a January 11th first practice date with games starting later in January. I think we'd be stupid to sit here and not realize that there likely are going to be major changes with the college basketball season as well, whether that be conference-only games in the Big Ten and a lot of the Power Five conferences, whether that be the games start, the practices start, the season as a whole starts in the second semester, that there's nothing done in the first semester because of maybe football and also because of, well, football really would not have anything to do with it, but maybe because of an extended break, an early break for virtual learning with the holidays, as a lot of the colleges have implemented. But I think we'd be silly to think with this virus going on that IU's basketball schedule and season is going to start as it always does at the same time, and that all of the games are going to happen as scheduled right now. But as football gets worked out, as we figure out if it can be played, as we figure out what it's going to look like, what all the conferences are going to do, is it going to be moved to the spring? There are so many things out there with football right now. It's every day you feel like something else is being pushed. I think then finally we can get to basketball, and maybe by the time you get to, I hate to say this, but September, maybe we can talk more seriously about what college basketball is going to look like. We'll know more about the virus. We'll know more about the number of cases, the number of deaths, the number of hospitalizations, all the important numbers that governors and other health officials are looking at, and talk a little bit more in solidarity about what could happen with the college basketball season. One Big Ten note, Victor Oladipo there's belief that he may play now for the Pacers down in Orlando. He's had a number of good practices so far with the Pacers. He made the trip but was not expected to play. He was going to practice some. He was going to rehab some. He wanted to spend time around his teammates. But there are rumors out there now that he may play, which would be, I think, a boost not only for the Pacers, but also just for fans of the Pacers and IU fans as well, to have someone to follow that we all love to watch play like Victor Oladipo. And finally, just a reminder, I talked about it at the top of the show, the TBT Million Dollar Championship game tonight. The Sideline Cancer team, that's Mo Creek, Remy Abel, of course, Remy right across the river in Louisville's where he's from, Louisville Eastern High School. They'll take on Golden Eagles, the Marquette alumni team, essentially. It's 7 o'clock tonight in that championship game. Make sure you take it out. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Big Ten football, the conference-only schedule, Victor Oladipo, and lots more. You just never know with Greg. Coming up here next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins, and always fun in this segment with Greg when he's with us on the program, presented by Coffee Crossing. And Greg, to start today, I want to go back to really late last week with a big announcement that I don't think was completely unexpected, but the Big Ten Conference, the first to say that it's going to be conference-only football this year with Big Ten teams, and that's obviously going to change some schedules. That's obviously going to affect college football as a whole. And really, I think that the Big Ten is maybe one of the first to make this decision, because you've got to believe other Power Fives will be in line with additional announcements soon.
Yeah, within 24 hours of that one, the Big Ten came out Thursday. I missed it for a couple of days, but apparently the ACC made the same decision Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two of the five. And the SEC and the Big 12, I think, they've come out and said, we're going to make our decisions at the end of the month. So when it happened on Thursday, I basically compared the Power Five to five dogs that walk around in a circle sniffing each other's butt, and all five of them are going to sniff each other's butt, and they're all going to do the same thing. And I said, I give it a week, and I was off, maybe, we'll see. But the ACC within 24 hours had done the same thing, and the other three schools conferences are talking about it. So it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But there's so many things that are going to happen. They're just a matter of time. And I hate that my role in this world is to be the big bad guy and to tell people that, listen, Santa Claus, that rumor you heard about Santa Claus, it's just, I'm sorry, but it's something your parents told you. It's not real. And the Easter Bunny, I know we love the idea of a bunny rabbit, and we love the idea of a tooth fairy replacing our molars or whatever falls out of our mouth with a quarter. We love all these ideas and fictions and dreams and hopes, but none of it's real. And the same thing goes for the 2020 college football season. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to not happen. I'm on the radio saying it's not going to happen. I'm not putting anything out of the universe. I'm not influencing anybody, but it's just not going to happen. And so this is just the first step. Big Ten was first. ACC was next. The rest of the conferences will do the same. And then as we get closer and closer, and teams actually start coming together and start spreading the virus, it's over. The problem is, as sports fans, we're thinking, okay, well, it's over for us, for at least for our entertainment. But it's really not over, because what's going to happen is these teams are going to come together. They're going to spread the virus, because kids are kids, and they're going to go out and have fun, and they're not going to be locked down like they're supposed to. I get it. I've got two the same age. I understand this very well. And they're going to all get it, and they're going to pass it to each other. And then, like little bitty franchises, they're going to go back on the campus and give it to everybody else. So, and then colleges will be shut down by, I don't know, early October. You know, you don't have to be real smart. You don't have to be an epidemiologist. I can't even pronounce the damn word. You don't have to be one of them to know where we're all going.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. A couple things surrounding what you just talked about with the Big Ten Conference and Power Five conferences. There's been talk, and in fact, the Ivy League has said it's going to happen with spring football. The Junior College Association, I believe yesterday, they made official that they are going to move the JUCO football season to the spring. I've been thinking more about this. So my question to you is, does college football in the spring, at least for this 1 year, does it make sense? And obviously, professional, you can do what you want to do as long as you don't step on other leagues and you don't want to take away or compete with certain things in other seasons. I get that. Really, spring football, if it has to be that way, if that's the only alternative that we're left with, to me, in college, temporarily it might work. In pro, temporarily it might work. But really, where I don't think spring football works is high school. I'm curious your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, it's true, because in high school, they all play the same sport. You know, the best athletes play all of them or play a couple of them. So what are you going to ask those kids to do? I don't think it – I mean, it works in theory. It works on paper. I don't think we're going to do that. I mean, the Ivy League, I guess, is going to do that. But the difference in the Ivy League and other conferences is that most of their players aren't going to play in the NFL. And the thing about spring football that kind of scares me just a little bit, it's not a deal breaker. But, you know, you talk about unintended consequences and you know, the NCAA is always passing rules. They don't realize what's going to happen in 2 years because of the rule you passed. But it's like, you know, the Tokyo effect, the butterfly effect. Butterfly flaps his wings in Tokyo. 2 years later, a monsoon rolls ashore in New York City. It's one of those deals with spring football. In that, if assuming we don't, you know, assuming we go right to the fall again, you're asking a whole lot of D1 athletes that are going to stay in college to play 25, 30 bruising college games in about 9 months. And that's too much. For their bodies. And then you're asking the best of the best to play 12 or 14 games in the spring and then 4 months later go to the NFL and do the same thing. It's too much. And the unintended consequences of that is we don't know who's going to break, how many people are going to break down in November, college and pro. So that's a problem for another day. I'm not saying we can't do that because, but I am saying that's going to be a problem. And because of that problem, I kind of wonder if it's going to get off the ground, because if someone as dumb as me knows that's what's going to happen. I mean, there's a reason the NFL won't go to 18 games, because the players don't want that much punishment. We're about to ask a whole bunch of people to take, not the exact same punishment, 16 to 18. It's not the same thing as 16 to 30 spread over 9 months, but it's still a lot more punishment in a short period without the recovery time, which is so crucial. So, you know, I don't think it's going to happen that way either. I'm sorry Santa Claus isn't real, but if you're out there hanging on to this hopes and stuff, and this time of history is a real bad time of history to have Twitter, because people have to hear what I say. They don't have to, but they can, you know, they can see it if they want to. It's right there. And I've got to hear what they say, and because they come to me and tell me what they say. And right about now, I'm tired of everybody. And I got no doubt that a lot of people are tired of me. I mean, I get it. We're on different sides, and the side that I'm on really can't understand why people aren't seeing what I'm seeing. You know, I haven't been wrong yet, Matt. You know, I haven't been wrong yet. You and I have been talking about this since March, and I haven't been wrong yet. And if anybody thinks I'm thrilled to have not been wrong, they're wrong. I mean, I've lost – I don't know how much salary I've lost, because we don't have newspapers very well right now, and I've had to take weeks of unpaid vacation. Unpaid, because no one's buying the paper, no one's advertising. I mean, subscriptions are down. Like, this isn't good for me. And I've got, if you know anything about me at all, we've never talked about this too much, but my biggest motivation, you know, some people, whatever motivates in life, whatever that is, for me, it's taking care of those I got to take care of. I got two kids, my ex-wife, that's a lot. And I'm trying my best, and it's hard. So I don't want to be right about all this, but I've been right every – almost made Douglas hit the button. I've been right every step of the way, and I'm going to be right going forward because it's very obvious what's happening, and I'm not the only one. There's – like, my entire side knows what's happening. We see what's happening, and the problem is half the world out there doesn't want to see it, and because they don't want to see it, they're making it worse. People aren't wearing their masks. They're not social distancing. They are rushing governors and whatever to open the economy. And believe me, I understand being out of work sucks. I've been there. But because we are not making it better, we're making it worse. And instead of, like, sucking it up for 6 months, the greatest generation volunteered to go over to Germany and Italy and Japan and fight. Or they were drafted, or both. The greatest, they made that sacrifice for us. And we can't wear an effing mask for 6 months? We are America's softest generation. And yet those people on Twitter telling me I'm soft. I don't get it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, my guest. And Greg, you bring up so many points. It's amazing to me, and we started talking sports, and of course we were talking about the Big Ten Conference and conference-only games, and one thing leads to another. It's amazing how sports intertwines in all of this so very much that's going on in our world today. And everything we talk about with sports has been affected by this COVID pandemic in some way or the other, whether it's a fact of the virus, whether it's a belief that one of us has. And I'll tell you what, as sports reopen, there was a soccer game in Louisville over the weekend. And I'll be honest, I like soccer. I've not been to a pro or a semi-pro match. But the number one thing I wanted to see on the evening news highlights or on social media from the Louisville City soccer game, it wasn't who won or how the new stadium looked, which is beautiful, by the way, but it was how many people in the stands were wearing masks. There was a limited number of people, I think 4,800 let in for a stadium that right now seats maybe 15,000 if it's full. I think they could have filled it up with 15 because it's a new stadium, and this team has just went berserk in Louisville. They have an unbelievable fan base, but it's amazing of all the things you could care about right now with a new stadium, finally having some live sports right in your backyard across the river in Louisville. It was to see who had masks on or not. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's people, they don't want to do – I mean, we're tired of it. I get it. The team comes in, but, you know, the toughest athletes in sports is a microcosm. So there's a reason why this all comes back to sports. It's a microcosm. It's a huge engine of the economy and of our own imagination and our getaway and our escape. So sports, it's not – it doesn't speak badly about us, and I don't mean us. You and me, I mean the world. It doesn't speak badly about the world that sports is so important. It's just a vital part of what we're doing. And it is a microcosm. But to use a sports analogy, the toughest athletes are the ones that the marathon runners or whatever they're doing, the ones that when they're tired, they do two more reps. Or when they're tired, they get up 100 more shots. Or when they're tired, they sprint those last 30 meters. Athletically, humanically, we're weak. No one's sprinting. No, we're all tired wearing masks, so we're going to take our masks off because we're tired because we can't bother to actually jog the last 30 meters to the home stretch. So, and there are political leaders are doing this. I want to say his last name is Wilson. I want to say it's Wilson, but I'm not sure about that. But I think he's from North Carolina. Tweeted yesterday, or a couple days ago, a picture of Donald Trump in his mask at the Walter Reed Hospital, and the accompanying the tweet was, and this guy's a Republican, so he's a Trump guy. Which is fine. This is what happened. An elected leader tweeted out a picture, and the words he wrote were, this representative, senator, whoever he is, I'm not going to wear masks, but nobody makes a mask look tougher than Donald Trump. Like, I mean, totally kissing. I mean, the most, like, embarrassing. That's the kind of thing a fifth grader would say. I don't wear masks, but no one makes it look more masculine than Donald Trump. But the how about the first part of that is he's actually proudly saying, I'm not wearing masks, but – I mean, look at our country. We are the worst country in the world when it comes to spreading the virus. We're so bad that Canada won't let us in without a two-week quarantine. That's serious. Here's a joke, but not really. We're so bad that Mexico is going to pay to build a wall for us. They don't. Never mind keeping Mexicans out of – keep us out of there because we're spreading the virus. Because we've got elected officials saying, I'm not wearing a mask. Well, great, and you're not going to have football either, okay? And you're not going to be able to go visit your grandma in the nursing home either. And you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store and get toilet paper in about 3 weeks. We have a run on that either. It's what life do you want to live? Do you want to believe in the Easter Bunny? I can't sit here and tell you he's real. In fact, I'm going to eat that sumbitch for night if I can. Sorry, Douglas. Eat that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with some good stuff once again today. I want to bring this up while we have some time here left. The bubble in Orlando is gearing up. Teams are practicing. The Pacers have practiced. Romeo Langford and the Celtics, they've had a handful of practices now. I think really in hotel, like convention halls, with the teams have shipped their courts down to Florida to be set up, at least their practice courts to be set up to practice on. And there's been some surprisingly good news, I think, if you're a Pacers fan or if you're just somebody that's glad live basketball is coming back at the professional level. Vic Oladipo, who we wondered if he would play, he was up in the air, finally said no, he wasn't going to recover, but still wanted to make the trip with the team and work out and get in rehab and those sorts of things. He's been practicing with the team, and by multiple reports, he's had some really strong practices. And now there are rumors out there, I should say even some reports, that he's considering, because of his strong practices in Orlando in the bubble so far, going ahead and playing this season for the Pacers.
Yeah, Vic doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, loss is the wrong word. He's clearly torn. The Pacers didn't know. I mean, they knew he was torn before he announced he was coming. He wasn't playing. Although he didn't announce it, he leaked it to Sam Sharnia. Sam Sharnia of the Athletic announced that the Pacers didn't see it coming. They probably should have, but didn't. You've got him being in steady contact with the Pacers, but they find out that he's going to play, or not play, I'm sorry, through Shams. And then Shams again tweeted out yesterday that now Victor's thinking about it because he's down there kicking butt in 5-on-5. I've heard that Victor was kicking butt in 5-on-5 for months. Like the Pacers were doing 5-on-5 and nobody knew about it, that they were doing it. Or somebody was – there were 5-on-5 games that involved some Pacers. I'm not saying the Pacers were doing it officially. They weren't. But there were 5-on-5 games for months that no one knew about. Victor was taking part and was kicking everybody's butt. So that physically he's fine, but that mentally he's just kind of – and I'm not making fun of him, but mentally he's not quite – he's afraid or, timid or whatever. I mean, believe me, I understand with all that money at stake. Point is that he's torn, and he doesn't know what he's going to do, and we'll see. I feel bad for him, but it's kind of a bad look, too, that he's actually letting this play out so publicly. He's clearly torn, and rather than just, being torn behind the scenes and then when push comes to shove on July 30th or whatever – he's either on the court or he's not. Instead, this is playing out publicly, how torn he is. And it's not a good look for him because fans are beating him up over it. But, I mean, it is what it is. And I understand being torn. I wish I was more torn about some things right now instead of being so utterly convinced that I'm sick of people and utterly convinced that no one wants to see the truth.
Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, this segment each week presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to close with this. Always enjoy reading your columns. Some are heavy on sports and some right now. And occasionally throughout all your writing, I think you've done a great job with this, even not so heavy on sports. And there's one that I haven't read yet, but I'm very interested in. And you wrote a column that came out yesterday, I believe, about some fallen firefighters in a memorial that you ran across in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'll be real brief about this, but my girlfriend lives near downtown Indy, and she's got a dog named Indy, spelled with an I-N-D-I, and I take the dog for a walk every day almost, and we live right by the Fallen Firefighters Memorial in Marion County, where there's a bunch of granite columns with names on them of fallen firefighters, and we always stand around there and look, and I'm always looking, and there's two names at the bottom of one of the columns, and same last name, Glazier. One died in 1873, one died in 1890. And I'm thinking, that can't be father, son. Tell me that. I mean, so anyway, I go through the Indy archives and figure out who these Glazers are. They are related. There's a lot more to the story. This whole story goes from 1873. It goes to the pension fund that exists today. It involves five or six different Glazers. It involves the worst fire in Indianapolis history. It involves the guy that invented a whole bunch of firefighting techniques. I mean, the story goes all over the place. And it was – and last thing I want to say about it is that I like I told you earlier, what drives me in life is trying to provide for the people that I've got to provide for. One of the things that motivates me in life, or at the very least humbles me, is heroes. Like I'm not a bad guy, and by that I mean I'm not a badass. I'm not anything. I'm not running into fires. Like the kind of places that most people run away from, firefighters and policemen run into, and I'm blown away by it. So it was just my way. It's kind of a love letter to firefighters in general. geared around these two Glazers that died 140 years ago.
Nice stuff. You can find it at indystar.com/sports. Greg, always fun to catch up. As always, thanks for being with us today.
Matt, thanks for having me. And Doug, I got to keep you on your toes, man. Have those fingers ready. You never know what's coming out of his mouth anymore.
He gives you a big thumbs up behind the glass, does producer, producer Doug Wolverton. So thank you, Greg.
A virtual hug for both of you.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us on this Tuesday edition of the program. Stay with us. We'll be back coming up in the next segment. More on IU, the latest with basketball and some basketball recruiting, and perhaps some football too. We got Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joining us as always. Coming up next, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with me, and he's always with me on this day to talk IU basketball, football, and more. And I tell you what, Mike, I guess I'm looking for some good news. It's depressing, the rumors about football, the worries about the basketball season, and, of course, all surrounding this COVID-19 pandemic that we're in. So let's start with some future Hoosiers, perhaps, or maybe some targets in recruiting, you could say. Despite the shutdown of so many sports, AAU basketball has been rolling now for a few weeks in Indiana, and Logan Duncombe, who is obviously committed to Indiana, is playing for an Indiana elite team. It's the same team that Trey Kaufman and a number of other really good players in our state are on this spring, and well, I should say this summer, with the spring part of the season basically canceled because of COVID. But those guys are playing together. How do they play together? How do they play off of each other? Could it be maybe a glimpse into what them playing in the cream and crimson down the road could look like?
Yeah, that's a good combination for Indiana, given that Logan's already committed, because he's a pure center. Doesn't go hunting for 3-point shots. Really good rebounder, and I think Trey, with his skill set, you know, being a good, really good handler and shooter and passer for someone, you know, with some size, would like to play around somebody that would be maybe the five man and allow him the freedom to go outside. And they have, seem to complement each other well in that Indiana elite team. And so, you know, I think it's a feather in IU's cap as far as recruiting Trey, that that they'll have Logan for 4 years playing on the inside. And they seem to get along really well, too. They seem to have similar personalities. And so it just seems like a good omen for Indiana.
Who is Indiana's chief competition when it comes to landing Trey Kaufman? We know that the staff is giving him all sorts of priority. We know there are also a number of other schools, both near and far, that would like to land Trey Kaufman as well.
Well, for the long time, it's been kind of the Xavier, Louisville, Purdue getting most of the mention. But I do think the potential threat that might be the biggest is a well-known out-of-state, out-of-Midwest school like a Virginia, maybe a North Carolina, Kentucky. But a school like that where there's a good connection with the head coach, he's not had a chance to visit those schools because of the pandemic. And that – you know, if that continues, he may just go ahead and just make a decision, which obviously would favor the early schools like Indiana and those other ones that I mentioned. But I think the real threat really is to a real good academic school, maybe an AC school like Virginia that has a good connection with him on a head coach, a player level, really convinces him that there's a good fit for what he does in their system. So that, to me, that's really the biggest threat, because I'm not sure if he – the other schools have the greatest fit is for him is Indiana. So I really think it could go to an ACC school or something like that in Indiana.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Any other activity? I know there's lots of calls going out. There have been some scholarship offers. to 2021 or even some 2022 guys. But anything really moving the needle right now outside of Trey Kaufman from a recruiting perspective? Is there anyone that you feel Indiana has maybe improved their situation with or is at the top of their list or any commitment that you could see happening in the near future?
No, nothing in the near future, but I do think they've put themselves in a really good position with a couple really talented players in Mason Miller and Amino Muhammad. Both are, I think, possibly top. You know, Muhammad is already a five-star level talent, but Mason Miller, his dad, Mike Miller, the famous NBA player, was recently left as a coach, assistant coach at Memphis. So his bloodlines are great, and he's taller than his dad. So he may end up being a top 25, 50 player when all is said and done because he's still growing. A lot of places list him as 6'7", but he's really closer to 6'9". Those two guys have done a really good job with, I would say, at least at this moment in the top three or four. But neither kid is close to making a decision and may wait many months before they really get serious.
Mike, I mentioned earlier today in our headline segment that Tom Ostrom was ranked in the top five of the Big Ten assistant coaches by Jeff Goodman of Stadium. And it seems when you talk about Trey Kaufman and when you talk about some of the other big-name recruits that Indiana has landed, Tom Ostrom, as the associate head coach, has been very involved in those recruitments. He and Archie have a long-standing relationship. He's been with him now for many years, going back to his early years at Dayton. He's the right-hand guy in Bloomington when it comes to basketball, isn't he?
Yeah, he's expanded. When he first arrived, you know, anticipated he would really hit Ohio and in his hometown of Minneapolis hard, and he did. Jerome Hunter and Race Thompson from those areas came, you know, committed to Indiana. But he's gotten really involved with the state of Indiana. You know, I think Mike Roberts will be helping him out a lot more in that recruitment geography area. But he's done a really good job with a lot of players beyond his kind of the home territory.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, let's switch to football for a moment. Obviously, big news last week that the Big Ten would go to a conference-only football schedule. How could that hurt or help Indiana football, or is it too early to really know without seeing an exact schedule and what the adjustments could be?
Well, you know, it probably hurts a little bit given the – you know, you need to have six wins, which is something that I probably have to be relaxed because I think, you know, you have multiple conferences now looking to do conference games only. I think the Big Ten will look to add even more conference games. We talked to Coach Allen today, actually asked him today about an hour ago about playing 10 conference games versus the 9 schedule. He seemed to believe that'll be as an excellent possibility if they go to that. And what they'll do is they'll add – Indiana will have to add an additional road conference game because right now they have 5 home and 4 away. All the schools in the East have an extra home game this year. And so they'll look to maybe add somebody like a Northwestern or somebody like that who has, you know, just 4 home games. Somebody that makes sense geography-wise, wouldn't be too involved with travel. So that's what expect to happen. And there could be even more, but, you know, it makes the schedule tougher. There are no Eastern Illinois is on the schedule, you know. Whether they need to just 5 wins maybe or something like this, I don't know. But the added game will come from the other side of the league.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, some IU football as we close things out today. Coach Allen, you mentioned, had a press conference availability earlier this morning to discuss some of the latest with the Big Ten schedule change and other things going on with the program. Any other updates that he passed along? Any other major points from that conference?
Well, I seem to admit that they had at least one positive test within the program. You know, he didn't say they were kind of admitted they weren't immune from a positive test, but didn't give us the exact number and just pointed to the 4 positive tests across the athletics for their athletes that have been tested. Every athlete has been tested. So it's somewhere between, you know, I wouldn't mention it's somewhere between 1 and 3 football players, probably closer to 1, so which is terrific given what you've seen from other programs. You know, it's just to have you know, one or two players or something like that test positive, it shows that the program that they have in place with limiting groups to nine players and a coach is working right now for them. So, you know, he also had a lot of interesting things to say about having building contingency plans, even for coaches. Let's say a coach gets a positive test or has to be quarantined because he's been around somewhere positive. It could be the offensive coordinator. Although now, that next game, they got to have somebody ready to jump in to be the offensive coordinator. So they're going to have all sorts of plans, even for himself as head coach, you know, what happens in those contingencies. So that was pretty interesting.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. Can two former IU guys get it done and win their share of $1 million tonight? Have you paid much attention to the TBT?
Well, I just know the team with Remy, Abel, and then Maurice Creek keeps winning close games. They're making big shots, and Remy and Maurice have been a big part of the late-game heroics. And they seem like a little bit of a team of destiny. And I would think it would be really great to see Maurice Creek earn some money, significant money, because he probably would have made a good living in the NBA had he never had all those microfracture injuries that we all know too well about.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Check out the Pegs.com website for lots of IU basketball, football, recruiting, and a lot more going on there. Subscribe, be a member. If you're an IU fan, you will appreciate it. Mike, thank you. Appreciate the chat.
We'll check in with you next week. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Helping me wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll be back with you Wednesday. Dustin Dopierak will join the program. We'll talk some college basketball, college sports with him. Also, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins on Wednesdays as well. And then later in the week, we're going to get back into some high school football previews as we start to take an early look at the season. We've had on a couple coaches, a couple players so far. We're going to talk with more of the big-name players for the upcoming season and also the coaches in the area as well. They're, what, a week and a half or so tomorrow into off-season workouts from a football side of things. So we'll check in with them as they learn more about what their teams could look like for the upcoming season. And we're still going to do the off-season basketball updates. We always like talking to the high school coaches in the area. I know we haven't had the summer leagues and all the activity games tournaments that we normally have, but we'll still do that as we roll on through the month of July into August. That wraps it up for today. Don't forget to check us out on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.